Is it echoing funny or yeah?
I'm not sure what that is. But how about I lead us in prayer and ask that God would speak to us today. Almighty God, we do thank you for your word. Father, we thank you that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. We pray that as we think about this prayer of this obscure man, that you would indeed bless us and that you would speak to us today. Help us to pray with confidence. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, who here has actually heard of Jabez before? Has anyone heard of Jabez? Like before this morning? I mean, there's just the whole... You might have come in today and the topic is the prayer of Jabez. And you might think... I mean, some people here know exactly what that's about. But some people here think that's got nothing to do with me and where I'm at today. It's a small prayer hidden in the depths of the Bible. If you were going to hide something in the Bible, if you really wanted to hide it well, where would you hide it? If you've got a Bible, very helpful to have a Bible now, because I want to show you something. So if can everyone have a Bible, make sure you've got one. Dominic's got it. Did you have a few? Come with me to 1 Chronicles, where the reading was from. That's about in the middle of the Bible, after Kings, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 Chronicles. If you wanted to hide something in the Bible, I think there would not be a better spot in the middle of 1 Chronicles. Have a look with me. Start with chapter 1 of 1 Chronicles. Can everyone see that? You've got a page of genealogical records. Adam, Seth, Enosh, Kenan, Mahalalel, Jared, and name after name. Okay, how many pages have we got here of genealogies? One page. Two pages. Three, 4 pages. 5, 6 pages. 7, 8 pages. 9, 10 pages. 11, 12 pages. 13 pages of genealogical records. And hidden in the midst of that is one little prayer about a man named Jabez in chapter 4. And Jabez isn't even in the genealogical records. It's not like it says, look at verse 6, the sons of Hela, Zereth, Zohar, Ethnan, Koz, who was the father of Anub, and Hazabiah of the clans of Ahariel, son of Haram. It's not like it says Haram was more honourable than his brothers. This is Jabez, someone out of the blue. And so you've got this prayer that is hidden in a very obscure part of the Bible. But it's not just an obscure part of the Bible, it's an obscure time of the Bible. I mean, the Jabez was probably around the time of the Judges. You know, this is the time when chaos reigned. And it was the time when there were people were wandering away from God. And you hear about a man named Jabez praying a prayer. Well, from obscure places and obscure times, Jabez was flung into stardom, in a sense, through the book, The Prayer of Jabez. Who has heard of The Prayer of Jabez? And who's read it? No one? They don't read it? Good, a few people. To be the number one New York Times bestseller. And as it was... who worked at Kurong? Did you used to work at Kurong? And it was on number one for how long? Months and months, almost a year for me. It was number one bestseller, so much so that they can get the prayer of Jabez for women, the prayer of Jabez for teenagers, and just the prayer of Jabez. Well, there's the incredible Jabez phenomenon here, and this book by Bruce Wilkinson has actually got some interesting. It's quite an interesting book. I'll show you how he starts off. The little book you're holding is about what happens to ordinary Christians who decide for each extraordinary life, which, as it turned out, is exactly the kind God promises. My own story starts in a kitchen with yellow counters and Texas-sized raindrops pelting on the window. It was my senior year at seminary in Dallas. Darlene, my wife, and I were finding ourselves spending more and more time thinking and praying about what would come next. Where would I throw my energy, passion, and training? What did God want for us a couple? I stood in our kitchen thinking about the challenge I heard from the seminary chaplain, Dr. Richard Soom. Want a bigger vision for your life? He'd asked earlier that week. Sign up and become a gimper for God. Does anyone know what a gimper is? A gimper, as Sam explained, was someone who always does a little bit more than what's required. Okay? And what's expected. In the furniture business, for example, gimping is putting the finishing touches on upholstery, patiently applying the ornamental extras that are a mark of quality and value. And Dr. Soom took me the text, the briefest of the briefest biographies in the Bible. Now, Jabez was more honourable than his brothers. Jabez wanted to be more and do more for God. And we discover at the end of verse 10 that God granted his request. End of verse, end of Bible story. Lord, I think I want to be a gimper for you. I prayed and I looked out the window at the blustery spring rain, but I was puzzled. What exactly did Jabez do to rise above the rest? Why did God answer his prayer, I wondered? For that matter, why did God even include Jabez's mini profile in the Bible? Maybe it was the raindrops running down the window panes, but suddenly my thoughts ran past verse 9. I picked up my Bible and read verse 10, the prayer of Jabez. Something in this prayer would explain the mystery. It had to. Putting a chair up to the yellow counter, I bent over my Bible and reading the prayer over and over again, I searched with all my heart for the future that God had for someone as ordinary as I. And the next morning I prayed Jabez word for the word. And the next. And the next. And 30 years later, I haven't stopped. If you ask me that what sentence other than my prayer of salvation has revolutionized my life and ministry the most, I would tell you that it was the cry of a gimper named Jabez, who is still remembered not only for what he did, but for what he prayed and for what happened next. And his logic is very encouraging. In this book, Bruce Wilkinson talks about calling down for the blessing of God. And sometimes we don't value the blessings of God. Sometimes we don't even ask for the blessings of God. Sometimes we think God doesn't even matter in the details of our life. And I'll read one more section of this book. Now, I'm not reading this to... I hope sometimes when you read something out loud, it implies that I'm sort of ridiculing it the way I'm reading. I'm not reading it to ridicule. I'm just reading it. Listen to this. This is a story about a man called Mr. Jones. There's a little fable about Mr. Jones who dies and goes to heaven. Peter's waiting at the gates to give him a tour. Amid the splendour of golden streets, beautiful mansions and choirs of angels that Peter shows him, Mr. Jones noticed an odd-looking building. He thinks it looks like an enormous warehouse. It has no windows and only one door. But when he asks to see inside, Peter hesitates. You don't really want to see what's in there, do you? He tells his new arrival. Why would there be any secrets in heaven? Jones wonders. What incredible surprise could be waiting for me in there? When the official tour is over, he's still wondering, so he asks to see inside the structure. Finally, Peter relents. When the apostle opens the door, Mr. Jones almost knocks him over in a haste to enter. It turns out the enormous building is filled with row after row of shelves, floor to ceiling, each stacked with white boxes tied in red ribbons. These boxes all have names on them, Mr. Jones muses around. Then turning to Peter, he asks, do I have one? Yes, you do, Peter tries to guide him. Mr. Jones back outside. Frankly, Peter says, if I were you... But Mr. Jones is already dashing towards the J aisle to find his box. Peter follows, shaking his head. He catches up with Mr. Jones just as he's slipping the red ribbon off the box and popping the lid. Looking inside, Jones has a moment of instant recognition and he lets out a deep sigh like the one Peter has heard so many times before. Because there in Mr. Jones's white box were all the blessings that God wanted to give him while he was on earth, but Mr. Jones had never asked. Ask, promise Jesus, and it will be given to you. You do not have because you do not ask, said James. And even though there's no limit to God's goodness, if you don't ask him for a blessing today, you didn't get all that you were supposed to have. And so the book is saying, God has all these blessings for you in your life. Have you asked for those blessings? And I'll just show you the way he takes he says, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. How could you honour God? In the Old Testament, you honour God by increasing your territory. You honour God by having a larger and larger land. But the New Testament's different. The New Testament, you honour God by increasing your ministry and your opportunities to seeing people come to know Christ. And so Bruce says, do you pray for an increase in opportunities to people to know Christ and opportunities for your witness and for your influence in this world to increase? And he says there's almost a cycle, because when you pray that, look at the next part of the prayers, let your hand be on me. If your ministry opportunities increase, then you actually get to a point where it becomes exhausting. Because, I mean, sometimes I find this when I'm talking to people about Christ, and it thinks, I don't want to talk to this person, because if I talk to them and they happen to become Christian, or if I talk to them and they're interested, then my workload just increases. And I think sometimes we think that when the busyness of life. And so he says, you pray for God's hand to be on you. And then when your ministry is growing and God is with you and strengthening you to get through, there is opportunity to be proud. And there's opportunity that evil is always there and things are always having a go at you. And so he asks that he would be free from harm and free from pain. In a sense, that's his logic. And hopefully I got it right. And he recommends that you pray this for 30 days. And reread the book every week so that you're actually understanding what you're praying. What's the strength? Oh, sorry. So why is it popular now? One of the great things about the prayer of Jabez is that there's, and makes it easy, is that there's no context. You know, that there's no, it's not about someone like David in the middle of a battle. It's not about someone like Moses leading the people out of Egypt. It's not about Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane where it's particular to them. It feels like a prayer that you can just take, and it makes it easy because there's no real context to it. The other reason why it might be popular is it's one of the only examples. I can't think of many examples of the Bible where you pray for things about yourself. They're just not recorded in the Bible. I think people pray for themselves all the time, but I just don't think they're recorded in the Bible. Often Paul talks about how he prays for others, and Jesus prayed for himself. But this is one of the rare examples where the prayer is recorded about yourself. One other reason why it might be popular is that it's not Christian specific. I mean, he prays to the God of Israel, but it doesn't have all the details and things that only a Christian would know. And in some ways that can be bad, but in some ways that's good because it means that someone who's seeking God can pray a prayer like the prayer of Jabez, and they don't need to know all the details about the doctrine behind it. And they just ask God for blessing, and as they come to know, then they'll find out more about God, perhaps. Another reason why it might be popular is... Jabez was someone. What's Jabez? Does anyone know what Jabez's name means? You can look at the bottom of the outline. It says Jabez. Sorry, on the back, on the bottom of your Bible, there's probably a footnote. Does anyone? Can anyone see that? Stress or pain. Yeah. So his name was Pain, or very much like the word pain. And so he had a bad legacy. Imagine sort of walking around and being called, you know. Introducing yourself as Pain, you know, you're reading through the list of names, and all the other kids have got names like Strength, Valor, you know, Honor, a beautiful gift, Pain. It just sort of stands out, and not just being Pain, but the fact that your mother called you Pain. So I think, in a sense, Jabez speaks to people who hurt and who have legacies to stand against them. And so it's a prayer that a lot of people nowadays have legacies to stand against when people hurt. And so I wonder if that's why it's popular. Well, first of all, the strengths of this book by Bruce Wilkinson on the prayer of Jabez. One of the things it does, it gets people to pray. And you can't deny that. That people throughout the world have been praying. And that is just an absolute blessing from God. That people are turning to God in prayer. Sometimes we can make it sort of so difficult for people to pray by themselves at home. But Bruce has helped people to simply pray. But I've got a few reservations. One of them is probably how he goes to the New Testament. There's actually not much about Jesus in the book. And one of the things we know is that the Bible is all about Jesus. Paul says, I knew nothing with you except for Christ and him crucified. And you can read the prayer of Jabez, and Jesus is kind of mentioned as what you talk to people about, but it doesn't form the heart of the prayer. And there's a couple of other things. One of them is that there's no promise attached to the prayer. It's an implicit example, isn't it? You look at the it's an example in the midst of all these genealogies. Here's someone who's more honourable, but there's no promise that if we pray this kind of prayer, it'll necessarily be answered. I mean, think about people. Jesus prayed a prayer like the prayer of Jabez. If there's another way, you know, spare this cup from me, yet not my will but yours be done. And Jesus got the answer, you're going to die on the cross. And so sometimes God doesn't answer the prayer. Paul asked for pain to be taken from him. He asked three times in 2 Corinthians 13, three times for a thorn in his flesh to be removed, and God said no. And so there's no direct promise from God. The two last criticisms might be the strongest, and that is sometimes, I think one of the dangers is there's a focus on prayer and not on God. It was the prayer of Jabez that changed my life. It was this prayer that I said every day that made the difference. It was this that did this, rather than it was God who answered the prayer, and I think that's a real danger. It becomes this channeling device. It's interesting that repeated prayers... can sometimes... there's quite a scary quote I heard from about the Dalai Lama, who was talking about a prayer that he'd written. And he said, to recite the medicine Buddha mantra brings inconceivable merit. If you recite the mantra every day, the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas will always pay attention to you and they will guide you. All your negative karmas will be pacified in you, and you'll never be born into the three lower realms, and all your wishes will be fulfilled. There's a sense in which sometimes if you just focus on the prayer, then you forget the God who's behind it, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, Jabez wasn't like that, because Jabez, he said that he prayed to the God of Israel. He cried out. And so he was focused on God. The last one, this is sometimes you can have a bit of a tunnel vision. And so you can be so focused on this one prayer that you forget that there are lots of prayers in the Bible. You forget that there's the Lord's Prayer in the Bible that Jesus taught us to pray. And we could say, you know, let us pray the prayer as our Lord, as Jabez taught us. And then as a church, say it together. But Jesus taught us a prayer. There's a tunnel vision to other parts of the Bible where there's a richness, but it sort of seems like you elevate this one prayer over the rest. Anyway, I just wanted to say all that in the introduction, but I actually come not to bury Jabez, but to praise him. It's the quote from Julius Caesar. It didn't come to... It's reverse way around, isn't it? What is it? Give us a Fred. I come not to... No, he said the other way around. We're here to bury Caesar, not to praise him. But I'm doing the other way around, you know. But I've come not to bury Jabez, but to praise him. I mean, the prayer in the Bible is got to be honoured. We've got to say this is a good prayer. I mean, Jabez was a God-honouring man. He's not in the distinguished genealogy, so he doesn't have his bloodline doesn't separate him as for God. He's not one of either the descendants of the kings or one of the nobles, which this chapter traces all the nobles and the princes. He's not one of them, and yet he stands out and is given a section that not even Adam, not Noah, not Abraham, not even King David, well, King David's given later on, but none of the ones before him are given. And so he is a honoured man. His name, as I've said before, sounds like pain. His mother didn't hold that much hope for him. And in those days, your name meant your destiny. That you would, if you'd be called David, it means your beloved. If you're called Micah, it means who is like the Lord. If the name's Joshua, it means God save. Hezekiah means God is your help. Michael means God is who is like God. And yet he is called pain. And yet out of the lowest of low situations, he cries out to God. And it's a prayer of blessing, asking God to bless you. And the prayer of blessing is an expression of trust. When you woke up this morning, what did you think? What were the things that went through your mind this morning? Did you think, I've got to get my food this morning. I've got to have my coffee. Or imagine if it was a working day. Some people haven't had their coffee yet. What is it that you say, I've got to clean up my room today. Today I've got to make that deal. Today I've got to get that job done. Today I've got to sell this many products. Today I've got to stay out of trouble. Today I've got to balance the books. I mean, it could be some of you are either the kind of people who wake up in the morning and think of the day as a day of managing, you know, catching up with all the issues that have gone on. And some of you wake up thinking, here's all the possibilities of this new day. It just depends on how organised you are as to one of those people. But the question is, you've planned all these things. If you're a Christian, have you actually asked God to be involved in any of that? Have you actually asked God to bless you? Do you think that, you know, don't you think that the hand of God is actually important? And so asking God for blessing is just an expression of trust. If you're doing anything, so I mean, you could write these references down, but Micah chapter 2, verses 1 to 2, it talks about people in their beds plotting evil. In their beds, as their waking moments, they're planning all the things they can do that are wicked. Well, I'm saying, if you're planning anything in the day, have you committed it to God? And I think the prayer of Jabez, as just the simple point that, oh, that you would bless me, is a prayer of trust that God is the one who can bless. Well, seek the blessing of God. In the Old Testament, one of the great blessings of God is, as Jabez prayed, oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. There's actually on the web, have anyone heard the prayer of the neighbour of Jabez? It's a little bit funny, but it's a prayer that his neighbour prays because his boundary markers kept decreasing. as Jabez kept praying. So he prays this sort of counter prayer that Jabez's boundaries would stop increasing, etc., etc. But Jabez is praying a right prayer for the Old Testament, isn't it? He's actually asking for God's physical sign of blessing to enlarge his territory. It might have been the time of the judges where they were oppressed by other nations. And he's asking God to be honoured, because as the territory was increased, the God was honoured. Well, you think about how is that going to be translated to the New Testament? And the way that Bruce takes it is pray that my opportunity for ministry would be increased. And there's something right about that, isn't there? There's times when you pray. I don't know if you've ever prayed on the way to work on a bus. You say, God, give me opportunities to speak to someone about Jesus. And he does. Have you ever prayed before you come to church? Give me opportunities, even at church, to speak to someone about Jesus. And he does. I mean, there's been times, I know times, where I've had my most significant conversations with people. I led a man to Christ on a Sunday when I had prayed before church to say, give me opportunities today to speak to someone about Jesus. And God answers those prayers. And I think sometimes there have been times where we do not ask for opportunities, where we do not ask. Today I'm about to go to a family gathering. Come on, give me opportunities to bless me, make my worth the king, make me my opportunities for the kingdom increase. There'll be opportunities. I'm going to a funeral. Give me opportunities this day. And so I'd still commend that to you. But I want to say that I wonder if there's an even larger blessing that's in the New Testament. Instead of the ultimate blessing, the Old Testament would be to have an increase of the kingdom. Increase of the territory. I wonder if the ultimate New Testament blessing could be found in a place like Philippians. Could you turn with me to Philippians chapter 3? Here is blessing indeed in the New Testament to pray every day for. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8. This is what Paul thinks is of such value. He's just talked about all the confidence he had in the past. If anyone thinks he has reason to put confidence in the flesh, this is Philippians 3 verse 4. I am more circumcised in the eighth day of the people of Israel, the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, in regard to the law of Pharisee, as for zeal persecuting the church, as for legalistic righteousness faultless, but whatever was to my profit, I can now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything loss compared to knowing the surpassing greatness. Sorry, the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ. Amongst the early Christians, people actually gave up their inheritance, their boundaries in the land, because of the gospel of Christ. So the prayer that Jabez prays, increase my boundaries, well, in the early church, people were selling their property, because something was far greater, namely Christ and his kingdom. And Paul says, I pray that I be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ and the righteousness that comes from God that is by faith. I want to know Christ. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know his fellowships of sharing in his sufferings and become somehow like him in his death, and to have somehow attained to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this or already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ took hold of me. I mean, there is a blessing of God that goes to the heart of the universe. That I want to be like Christ. I want to somehow share in his death. I want to share in his suffering. I want to share in his resurrection. I want to be made like him. I want to be part of the saints who come marching in. I want to be there on the last day with Christ. Is that a prayer you pray for yourself? Do you seek the blessing of God? Do you say, hey, I want the blessing of God. I want to be like Christ. I want to know Christ in the particular situation. I want to know what it is to be like Christ. Do you pray for your children? Ruth is a much better prayer than I am. And I'm deeply encouraged by the way she prays. And one of the books that she's found helpful is a book called Praying the Scriptures for Your Children. And it just goes through passage after passage, promise after promise of God in the Bible about for your children. And so it will pray prayers like this. Praying for your children, salvation. Here's one. I mean, what is it that you dream about your children? Do you dream that they will be doctors? Do you dream that they will just be happy? What's your dream? It says here, these are prayers. This is turning some of the verses into prayers. I pray that Joshua would confess with his mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that he would believe in his heart so that you have raised Christ from the dead. Cause Joshua to call on your name, Lord, and save him. Thank you for loving Nathan so much that you gave the one and only Son, that when Nathan believes in him, he will not perish but have eternal life. I pray that Stephen would continue to be living Christ, rooted and built up in him, strengthening the faith as he was taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Put a new spirit in David, remove his heart of stone, give him a heart of flesh, cause David to follow your decrees and keep your laws. Let him know that he belongs to you and that you are his God. It's what you pray shows what you desire for your family. Do you seek the blessing of God for yourself? Do you earnestly crave after it for your family and your kids? And I want to say we should seek the blessing of God in particular situations. It could be that you're... I've actually got no problem. And you can ask me the question. I've no problem at all. If you run a business, if you're working hard for that business, I have no problem with you praying for that business and seeking the blessing of God. There is nothing wrong with that at all. If you work hard and don't pray, there's a problem with that, isn't there? If you think that you can do things by yourself without the hand of God, there's a problem with that. But perhaps you go deeper. You think, I want to influence people for Christ. And if you think you can influence people for Christ without asking God's blessing, then think again. But going deeper still, if you think that you can know Christ and be like Christ without God doing that in you, then think again. Seek the blessing of God. The prayer of Jabez is a great example of a godly man seeking the blessing of God. His whole life living against his legacy. We have a legacy as human beings which is deeply in trouble. And so we need to seek the blessing of God. And seeking God's hand. God's hand is the thing that brought them out of Egypt. God's hand is the way it describes God's salvation. His hand is upon prophets. His hand raises up kings. So in the Old Testament, an ordinary man sought the hand of God. And ordinary people in the New Testament can seek the power of God as well. Another prayer of Paul. Let's have a look at Ephesians chapter 1. The power that Paul calls upon is not just a little bit of moral power for us to get through the day and be cheerful and happy. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. Paul prays that the eyes, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 18, that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints. And he wants them to know the incomparably great power for us who believe. The power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and every title that cannot be given. He goes on, he cannot stop. The power that God works within us is the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. And it takes the work of God for us to realise that. Everything in the world is saying we do not have power. Everything in the world is saying that that we're just the same. But God says there is power for the believer. The power that raised Christ from the dead is working in you. The power that raised Christ not just from the dead but seated him above all things. Seek the hand of God. And it can come back to the mundane situation. In the family gathering. Seek the power of God. In the relationships. That's right. And we'll have questions on in a minute, Fred, so we can ask, we make comments in there. But that's right, he does always give you a hearing. And he gives you, he actually works in you, that power. The last thing the prayer of Jabez is, seek the blessing of God. Seek the hand of God upon you, but also pray for deliverance. In the Old Testament, if physical blessing was the most, the highest way of God looking in favour upon you, then avoidance of pain was probably the highest way of God looking in favour of you. And so Jabez prays, let your hand be on me and keep me from harm so I'll be free from pain. Help me not to live up to my name is what he prays. Yet something happens in the New Testament where you've got people who are suffering deeply, like Peter, and he sings in jail. You have people like Stephen, who's about to be stoned, and he prays, "Father, forgive them." And he sees a vision of Christ. And so something is happening in the New Testament. Something happens in the time of Christ that physical pain and suffering is not the be all and end all. And there is a deeper thing for us to pray for. And Jesus teaches us to lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The physical things that can hurt you, but spiritual temptation can destroy you. And so I think as we pray this prayer of Jabez, we pray that God would bless us. Seek the blessing of God. Do you seek the blessing of God? Do you want God's strength within you? And do you want to be delivered? Well, this is a prayer for people. And I think the prayer of Jabez actually is something you should pray. I think you should think about it. I think you should pray it for it. Sit down, pray the prayer of Jabez. Pray the kind of things that the prayer of Jabez asks for. Think about the way that Christ has made a difference. Call down for the blessings. I mean, some of you inherited a legacy that is awful. Okay, your name's not Payne, but your life has been. And so, seek the blessing of God. And some of you want more out of the Christian life. And some of you feel, if I want to make more of an influence around people, well, seek the blessing of God. And there'll be people here who are yet to know Christ and who want to know the power of his resurrection. Want to know what it means to be with him. Well, pray the prayer of Jabez. Ask God to be with you and strengthen you. Well, in a minute I'm going to lead us in the prayer of Jabez, but would anyone like to make any comments or questions about anything I've said? Yeah, Ian. Yep. Yeah. There are similarities. And Job is someone who had the blessing of God, and, you know, in terms of material things. And even material, I mean family as well, and God took it, was all taken away. God did restore it at the end. And I wonder if this is the kind of prayer that, I mean, Job could pray. He'd prayed, you know, the Lord gave, the Lord take away, blessed be the name of the Lord. But he would also want to seek the favour from God as well. Well, the question is there any? There's no acknowledgement of the unworthiness of Jabez to receive the blessings of God, and that's true. I think that attitude must always be there. In a sense, it's implied in the prayer that you're asking God for things that you can't do for yourself. Paul, in his prayers, doesn't preface every one of them by saying, "We're unworthy to receive these things." But he prays that the eyes will be opened. He prays that God will strengthen them. And so I think the attitude is absolutely important. But it doesn't always... I don't think it necessarily has to surface in every prayer explicitly. But that attitude is right. It just reminds me of the other parable of the persistent widow who prays consistently night after day for justice from God. Some people have teased the prayer of Jabez because it's repetitious prayer, and I think that's the kind of prayer that Christ speaks against. But I don't think it is if you mean it. If you're praying through a prayer like this and you mean it. Because the widow prayed for things that desperately longed for justice to be done on earth, and God brought justice for her. So... Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's the same word for glory. So the question was, what does it mean for Jesus to be more honourable than his brothers? It's the same word for glory. This man was more glorious and more honourable than his neighbours. I think in terms of what that means is he's just stood out head and shoulders above the rest. And the why, it can only be because of his prayer. I mean, that's the only information that's given us as to why he's more honourable. It is pretty cool that he can be listed in a group with there's not many famous people on this list, but there is Caleb, verse 15, who was a warrior and a spy, and yet Jabez can stand out quite, you know, a man of prayer can actually stand out amongst princes and warriors as being an honourable man. And he must have been pretty good to have people remember him and write him down in the scriptures. Any other comments or questions? Yeah. Yep. Well, I that you would bless me, yes, and enlarge my territory. I put that on hold. Let your hand be with me, keep me from harm, and I'll be free from pain. I think I could pray all of it except for enlarge my territory. And if I understood enlarge my territory in the right way, I think I probably could pray that. But I think you need to understand the difference made through Christ. I mean, Christ asked us to pray everything in his name. And so you'd lift your eyes above Jabez's prayer and pray for the bigger things that he points to, I think. But it's funny, even Bruce Wilkinson doesn't get people to pray word for word Jabez. There's a sort of a reworked through our version, I think. But I mean, it's a kind of it's the ideas in it: seeking the blessing of God, seeking deliverance from evil, seeking the hand of God, are the kind of things you pray in the particular situations you're in. And I think that would give it more meaning. Yeah. Say again, sir. Now, I think enlarging your territory is a good thing. So the question is the suggestion that enlarging your territory is not a good thing for God to bless us with? I think it's kind of like there's things that are good, there are things that are very good, and there are things that are excellent. Asking for God to enlarge our territories is like a good thing in terms of physical. Yeah, asking God to be with you financially, etc., is a good thing. You think if you want to go to the next step of saying what's a very good thing, that you have the eyes of God, then the very good thing would be asking God to enlarge your opportunities to seek the kingdom of God. I mean, because the kingdom of God's better than the kingdoms of the world. And you think of the excellent thing. Well, the excellent thing would be even more focused on Christ. How can I know Christ and join the fellowship of Christ, kind of thing? Did you see that? Do you mean the boundaries as in asking God to increase the church? Is that what you mean? Yeah, well, I mean, it's interesting. One of the things that the prayer of Jabez sort of asks for, in a sense, is boldness and asking God to keep increasing your kingdom. And one of the things, you know, one of the dangers I see sometimes at morning church is we have the temptation to, and today there's a few more than all, but put away chairs and think, oh, well, let's not have as many chairs out because, you know, people, there's not as many people here. But we're actually, we've got 200 chairs here. We should be filling the building with 200 chairs and asking God to bless us in the ministry here at church. And it's only gonna happen through God, and so that's why it makes sense to pray. I think my big point I want to make is basically that point that I just said, that things, you know, God is the one at work. God is the one who can truly bless us. God is the one whose hand can be with us. And God is the one who can deliver us from evil. So the question is, why aren't we praying? And why don't we ask God for that? Why don't we pray now? Father, many of us want greatness, but Father, the greatness that you require is first to be servants of each other. And the greatness of the man Jabez was his greatness on his knees in prayer. Father, we pray that as a church you would help us turn to you in prayer. Father, we pray that we will be utterly dependent on everything we do. Father, we pray that that dependence on you would give us strength and confidence to take bold initiatives, to see opportunities, to see people come to know Christ. Father, we do pray that you would help us to seek your blessing every day. Father, we pray for many of us who have prayerless lives. Father, we pray that that would no longer be. And Father, we ask that you would help us to turn back to you, to seek your face and to seek your strength. And Father, we do pray that you would deliver us from evil. For those of us who are tempted in ways that others might not even know about, Father, we do pray for particular deliverance there. Father, we thank you for this prayer, and we pray that inspired by it, we would be men and women who pray. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.
Stand with us as we sing Be Thou My Vision.
Be thou.